12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Welcome to A Ravenous Hunger, a second edition Trail of Cthulhu actual play performed by the 12-Sided Stories Radio Theater. Now your keeper, Wes Otis.
Hello, I'm Wes Otis. Welcome to A Ravenous Hunger, a Trail of Cthulhu second edition actual play sponsored by Pelgrane Press. I'm super excited because, as longtime listeners know, we love Gumshoe. We've done a lot of Gumshoe games on this podcast. And right now, Pelgrane Press is running a backer kit for their newest edition of Trail of Cthulhu. And they've asked us to run it for this particular show. So, of course, we're going to say yes to that because we love Gumshoe. We have some amazing players with us today. Let us start with Lev.
Hello, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns, and I am playing Matilda Mendoza, also using they, them pronouns.
Woo! Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing LaShawn Roberts, a journalism student, also they, she.
Hey, I am Michelle, and today I am playing Dorothy Dot Trujillo, and she is a history major, and we are both she, her.
Hi, I'm Jen slash Youngles. I use she, they pronouns. I'm playing Mac, who's probably going to be a problem, who uses they, she pronouns.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
Okay, let's jump straight into it. Miskatonic University, 1934. Not too long after the expedition to Antarctica went terribly wrong and cast a dark shadow over the school, the Depression is on, and the Dust Bowl is causing havoc throughout the Midwest and can even be seen sometimes all the way to New York. There's also unrest in Europe. There's a power struggle that's going to affect the entire world in just a few years. It is a dark time. But before we get to the present day, we should go to the past. We're going to do flashback scenes for each of the players to find out how they got to Miskatonic U. Let us start with the problem, who's already said they're the problem, Jen. Because we might as well see where the problem's going to lead. Jen, let's flash back to when you're in the kitchen with your dad at home before leaving for Miskatonic. You're about to tell him that you're going to be an art student. So he turns to you and says, look, you keep saying you don't want to do private investigation. You keep saying this. We've done work before. You're really good at it. You can make some money. You know, you seem interested. That's all I'm saying.
Just because I'm good at something does not mean I'm interested in it. We've been over this. I want to learn how to make pretty pictures, okay? I want to be able to express something outside of just using words. Like, I want to make a mark on the world that has absolutely nothing to do with any death, any dying, any anything. I am so tired of being the weirdo that just, oh, there she is over there doing weirdo private investigation. Like, no one my age does what I do, Dad. Like, come on. I just want to have fun.
Fun is overrated. There's so much more to the world than fun. And let's talk about art. You have never been an artist. I mean, sure, you've taken your time and tried to draw, you know, stick figures and stuff, but you haven't ever been interested in it before. Why now?
Well, haven't you always said I have to try everything? Say yes to all opportunities, broaden my horizons on the great frontier or whatever? That's what I'm doing, right? Right?
Broaden your horizons, yes, but I was talking about hobbies, not jobs. There's a big difference between putting all your eggs in one basket that you've never actually weaved.
Okay, technically, they need art for tons of things, okay? Like, people make buildings. People also draw in the courtroom or draw pictures for the newspaper. You know, it doesn't have to be painting or anything. Obviously, I'm really bad at that. But maybe I could do one of those new impressionists or something. I don't know. Don't people need photographers or technically artists? They're at crime scenes, you know, who knows? And then I think Max stops and realizes that they're not getting anywhere in this conversation. And they're just like giving their father more fuel to use against them later. So they just go, you know what, Dad, you're right. You're totally right. What was I thinking? But you know what? I think art can be a new creative way to lead to investigations. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe an artist gets murdered. And how will I know if I don't know anything about art? You know, they learn about history and stuff too.
Are you... Okay, well, look, there is one thing you could do that would be helpful if you want to go to art school, which, by the way, I don't know any art school that's going to accept you at your current level of skill. I'm just being honest with you, not trying to make things hard, but we need to be realistic here. I could get you in to Miskatonic U.
Are you serious?
Yes, there is a case that I'd like you to look into.
Of course there is. I knew it was...
I'll pay for the whole goddamn thing, all right?
And I can still do art?
You'll be an art student, but you'll also be undercover for me. Besides, where are you going to get $1,700 to go to college with?
You know, that is a valid point. I can't see me working for $1,700 either. And Mac, like, clenches their fists and gets that look on their face when they have been defeated in these many arguments that we've had over and over again about various things ever since I was a child. And I think her dad knows that look, and so she doesn't really have to say anything, but she huffs and then just walks to her room to start packing.
Okay, cool. All right, let's jump over to Candace real quick.
So the background is my parents died when I was a kid, like very young. I don't really have very many memories of them. My mother's sister took me in. So I live with my two aunts. Their names are Lena and Maya, and they are married. Well, married. It's the 30s, you know. And I have a rabbit named Hopscotch that I imagine probably lives with them, unless they allow me to take the rabbit with me to school when I leave. But I think the reason that I wanted to get a journalism degree is because every morning I would start the day with like the newspaper. We would all kind of sit and do like a round robin of reading the newspaper. So like once you're done with a section, you fold it back up and you hand it to the next person. And then you take the other one from the person on your left and you start reading that. I think LaShawn was always just like, this is genius. Like you're making something that everybody touches, that everybody reads, that everybody has to have. It's a long-term investment and a long-term return on investment, right? With people buying into what you're making. And surely there have to be other ways. I mean, the radio is a thing. Like what if radio and newspaper work together to like make something different, right? So I think they're very passionate about telling the story itself and like trying to win a Pulitzer, get their name out there, right? Be well-known. But I also think that a big part of their interest lies in making something new as well out of multimedia.
Awesome. Okay, so real quick, I got Hopscotch. What was the aunts again? Mia,
Lena and Maya.
And Maya. Here's my stance on gay marriage in the past. If there can be magic and monsters and everything else in your game, there can also be a past where people weren't homophobic.
Into it. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. It is late Sunday afternoon, like around 3 o'clock. You have just woken up. You spent all night playing upright bass and smoking that jazz grass.
Hell yeah.
And you come outside, Hopscotch is in your arms as you sit at the table, and your aunts, Maya and Lena, are cooking together. That's something they've always enjoyed doing since they got married. It's something that you've always enjoyed watching them do in the newspapers there. And it is opened to a large advert for Miskatonic U. And it has a big circle around one of the new classes they're giving, which is a multimedia class, though they probably wouldn't have called it that back then. But since it's the 1930s, the World's Fair recently came out with a new invention called television. And it's way away from being used widely, but it is something that people in journalism and people who read the paper a lot are interested in. And your aunt seemed to be putting a very specific clue in front of you. And Lena turns to you and says, "So, how was the gig last night?"
"It was great. It was real cool. I had a good time."
"I noticed that you took some of my jazz grass, and I hope that you'll..."
"What? How do you know it wasn't on my..."
"Because we smoked together."
"Oh."
"Yeah, so..."
That's a lot of information."
It is, but, you know, you know what kind of household you're in."
"No, I do, but, I mean, ugh. Anyway, but I'm sorry I took some. How much do you want me to pay? Do you want me to pay you back? I'll pay you back."
"No, I don't want you to pay me back. Just, you know, take some, give some. Whenever you get yours, just put some back. That's all we're saying."
"Okay, I'll replace what I took. I'm sorry, Madeline wasn't around. There was nothing I could do."
"Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. So the show went well?"
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Darius thinks he's such hot shit. You should have seen him up there. Like, really going to town. Like, we had a whole breakdown in the middle, and I got to solo, and it was awesome. But, like, he thinks he is the next big thing in scatting, and I just... you should see the face he makes. It's really stupid. Like, it's really stupid. You can tell he thinks he's going on a good tear. He sounded beautiful, but, you know, you're the lead singer. You don't have to take up all the spotlight, you know?
They really think they do, though, don't they?"
"I mean, like, won't let it go."
"Well, yeah. But if you're really into jazz, you're listening to the bass and drums."
"That's it."
"Yeah.
I wait 7 minutes for my solo. I get my solo, and he's scatting through half of it. Like, it feels like a prank, almost. If it didn't sound so good, I just gotta leave it alone."
"I get it. So I was reading the paper," and she puts the paper in front of you, and she goes, "Have you heard of this? It's called television. It was in the World's Fair recently, and it's supposed to be where you can watch pictures on a screen in your own home."
"Oh, wow. So I heard about something like this. There wasn't any pictures or anything, but I heard about this in, what was it? I think it's Modern Electronics. I don't know. I was reading a magazine at the library, and I saw something like that. It looked really cool, and I don't know, it feels like it's, like, the future. You know what I mean? Like, the future."
"You always said that you were interested in maybe going to school for journalism or something."
"Yeah, I wanna do something with that. I feel like there's, like, a whole new horizon." Like, as they're having this conversation, they start rolling a little joint.
Okay. And Maya comes up behind Lena and kind of gives her a bit of a hug and then looks down at you because you're sitting with hopscotch in your lap while you roll a joint. She goes, "Well, we were thinking that this would be a good opportunity, and we know, you know, Miskatonic's not that far from here. It's within a few hours drive. So if you went there, you could always come home for the weekend or whatever and do your gigs, and we could help you out if you needed some extra scratch."
I think LaShawn, like, their face lights up at first, right? Their eyes get really big. They start kind of poring over this ad, running their fingers over the ink as though it's raised and they can feel it. Like, they're just really into it. But then it starts to click in their mind what they're saying. "Yeah, but, you know, I mean, this school got a telephone? Because I'm going to need to call y'all and let you know that I'm coming home. I don't want any of this lovey-dovey stuff in front of me. I don't need to walk in here and you guys are having some kind of, I don't know, tableau of libertine France or something. I don't need it. I know you guys have your friends and you all are bohemians, but I don't want to see it. I mean, unless it's like your friend Daisy. But otherwise, I don't want to see it."
"Well, I understand. We're family. I get it. I get it. You don't want to walk in on anything.
You guys are doing your whole empty nester thing. I might be back."
"No, no.
Don't change my room around or anything. Don't, like..."
"What would we do with it? That's where Hopscotch lives. Anyway, we understand. We're hip. We're cool."
Mm-hmm. LaShawn, like, nods their head, and it is clear that they do not agree.
"Yeah, no, not at all." And then Maya's like, "And I'd like to point out that even though you think we're bohemian, But here you are at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about to smoke reefer at a breakfast table, after playing jazz all night and doing God knows what with who. My point is, maybe you shouldn't be throwing stones, young lady.
LaShawn, like, takes, like, a really deep inhale. One of the ones that's, like, an exhale, then an inhale of that, like, little plume of smoke that you just exhaled. And, like, kind of looks at her with, like, this half smile. And as she just looks at Maya, just holds her arm out and hands the joint, like, to whoever will get it, knowing that Lena's going to take it.
Yeah, Lena takes it. She goes, this will go towards what you owe us. And then she takes a puff. So I think that's a good place to actually end the scene. I'm leaving Lev for the end. Let us go over to, Michelle. Michelle, home life. I know you had said you were a bit naive. Where did you grow up? Arizona?
Yeah, I grew up in Arizona, and religious family, the good girl, you know, lives on the ranch with her parents and probably her grandparents. And
okay. So it is an early Friday morning. You are milking a cow and your father comes up behind you and says, leave that for a second. I'll call one of your brothers over to deal with that. I wanted to talk to you for a moment. You guys start walking near where all the horses are. And it's one of those actual working farms, as in you guys have cows and you have horses and you have chickens and the whole nine yards. You have a lot of different animals and a lot of space. Like, you've got acres of land. And he goes, you know, I've been watching you do chores and work around here, and we moved up here to get more opportunity, not only for us, which, I mean, we've done decent, but also for you all. Plus, if I'm being honest, your brothers, they're not as smart as you. So I was thinking that it might be time, now that, you know, school is done, that you went somewhere that wasn't here and got some experience out in the world. Went to college. I know you like history a lot. What do you think?
I mean, I have always wanted to kind of explore, but can we afford it?
Yeah, we can afford it. You might have to take on a part-time job, but Mom and I talked, and your grandfather has some money. We can figure it out. Ranch has been doing good. You know, even with this financial slump the world's in, people still need to eat, and so we're still selling decent. Maybe not at the prices we were, but we'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'd like to. I mean, where though? I haven't even looked at any colleges.
There's a lot of different places that you can go. Your mother was talking about possibly going to a college in Boston, or there's a small college that's actually a little bit more affordable for us in the city called Arkham. I have to warn you, though, you've never seen snow before, and neither have I. But I've heard it's very cold, and so you would need to at least buy a coat or something, I'm thinking. I don't know. I've never had to deal with it, so we'll have to look into that.
Okay. I mean, wow. I've never even been to the East Coast. I think this will be an adventure.
That's what I was hoping, how I was hoping you would see it.
Can I take Jiffy with me?
Yeah, you can take Jiffy with you.
Jiffy's my cat, by the way.
He says, I'll start making the arrangements. And I mean, I'm not sure what you can do with a history degree. Maybe you can be a teacher, or I don't know. And there are schools near enough to the ranch that you can visit us and all of that. But it's time that you start your own life, and, you know, you're not going to be able to see the world milking the cows here.
I understand. And I just give him a big hug and I say, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course, honey. All right. So let's jump over to Lev real quick. Matilda, you are deep underwater. You see the surface of the water above you, but you can't quite get to it because something's holding on to your leg. And you are trying desperately to hold in the breath that you have. You can feel the burn in your throat to want to let out water and breathe in. Can I get a stability check? And what this is...
Cool. First roll, let's go.
What this is you're rolling a d6. All right, just as a quick review for everybody on what rolling means in Gumshoe. For investigation skills, you don't have to roll. If you have the right skill that is connected to the clue, you automatically get that clue, and you can spend your investigation points to get bonuses within the scene, extra information, and things like that. General skills are separate. They have pools of points, stability being one of them. So in this instance, Lev, you can spend those points to add to your die roll. You want to try to get a 4 or better in this situation. Most of the time, that's going to be the roll. So it's up to you. How many points from your stability pool would you like to spend?
Given how I roll, I will spend 2 stability, which will take me down to 8.
Okay. But again, you don't have to worry about that because this is a flashback, so you'll have them all back.
Okay. And then I add that to whatever my die roll is.
Die roll is. And that's it.
All right. Let's see. I did roll a 5, so now it's a 7.
All right. You are able to control your fear. What do you want to do? You see the top, but something's holding onto your leg.
This is something that Matilda has experienced regularly their whole life. It never gets any easier, but it does come with familiarity. They've tried kind of every permutation of what to do. They've breathed in. They've tried to swim up. They've tried to move the whatever it is off their leg. But I think they realize they've never been brave enough to look down at what's on their leg. And there's that inclination to like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it fast. I'm going to look and I will know what it is. And their chin never like drops. They kind of like push their eyes down and they're trying to look, but it's, you know, like the rest of their body's in the way and they can't see it and they can't quite make themselves like duck their chin. So I think they do what they've always done and just kind of feel down their own pant leg and try to just grip whatever it is and pull.
Usually this works for you, but this time when you grab, you feel a wrist and a hand comes up and pulls you deeper into the water. Do you open your eyes or do you keep them closed?
I think I'm going to open my eyes. I'm going to twist around and try and open my eyes because the extra hand is more rare than the single hand. So I think at that point they'll kind of like twist around and try and see what it is.
You come face to face with your aunt. You've never met her before, but she looks exactly like your mother, being her twin. It seems that she's drowned a long time ago. Her skin is starting to come off and is floating in the water. Her eyes are white, drained of all color, and her face is badly decayed. She looks at you and she yells. And you wake up suddenly and sit straight up in your bed, covered in sweat.
They sit up and scrub at their eyes, trying to just like push the image out of their head, even though it's the only thing they see every time they close their eyes. They've got this mane of, in our time, would be very easily salon achieved, like silver gray hair that is long and full. But in this time, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense how someone would do that and not just burn all the hair off the top of their head. And they try and tame their hair back down because having extra things like touching their face is too much at this point. So they kind of like train it back into these two little buns on top of their head. It's become rote, like a mechanism for calming down of like, if my hair is put up, I can see and I can breathe and there's nothing touching me and I can move forward.
Cool. Right then, your mother opens the door to your room. She goes, I heard you scream. Did you have another nightmare, honey?
When don't I? You know, when don't I?
She sits on the bed next to you. I'm sorry. I know it's been hard. The doctors say that you just need to breathe and try to calm down. You know, hysteria runs in our family.
It's not hysteria, Mom.
I used to deal with it all the time until I got depressed.
Well, I can't wait for that chapter of my life. Thank you so much for the reminder.
Sorry, honey, sorry.
Yes, it's the hysteria. Sure, yes, it's the hysteria. Does that make you feel better? If I say it's the hysteria, will that make you feel better?
No, what makes me feel better is if you're not going through this, what can we do to help you? I don't know.
Well, we've tried everything, haven't we? they gesture over at this extra shelf in their room that just has like bottles and tinctures and liquids and pills and all kinds of things that Matilda has tried and absolutely not taken to any of them and has stopped them or hidden that they've stopped them from their family.
Above game real quick, how much have you told your mother?
I think there was like one conversation about the dream when they were much younger and kind of gave in detail before their hair started changing, before they were being sent to the doctor regularly. I think it was like one conversation where I described the woman and my mom freaked out because it was absolutely my aunt and I never met her. And so that's kind of what sent her down this rabbit hole of, well, go to the doctors and they'll figure it out. I think Matilda doesn't talk about it much in detail with their mother. I think I have hidden that I applied to Miskatonic and I'm going to go probably with only leaving a note.
Well, honey, if you have another one of those dreams, maybe it's time for us to look into one of those health wellness places. The doctor said that it might help you to go to some sort of institution where you could work on calming your nerves down. I mean, your dad isn't working right now, so we don't have a lot of money for it, but we want to help you any way that we can. And we love you, honey. We don't want any of this for you.
I think at the mention of another doctor, Matilda kind of like locks down and tenses up. But at the very like gentle, motherly words and the reminder that their dad is still out of work, they kind of intentionally loosen up and nod. I love you too. Is Harriet up yet?
Yes. She's eating breakfast.
I'm gonna go talk to her. You know, with the... And I don't like say it. I leave the trail off enough for her to make her own assumptions.
She looks at you with sad eyes and says, I understand. I used to have that bond with my sister, too. I think all twins do.
I kind of really slowly stand up and kiss the side of her head because now I feel guilty for being short and pissy with her. And I leave the room.
You walk into the kitchen. Harriet's eating breakfast. And before you say anything, she goes, you had another nightmare, didn't you?
Yes, yes, yes. It's very predictable. We all know I'm very predictable. Thank you so much.
And you're always angry after you wake up.
I hate that you know me this well. What the fuck?
I'm your twin.
Yeah, I'm your twin.
It's kind of weird. I'm not having the same dream. I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah, lucky you, firstborn.
It has its privileges.
And I think, like, they pull out of their nightshirt, they kind of pull the acceptance letter and just really subtly try to slide it under the table.
She takes it and reads it and then hands it back to you underneath the table. She goes, I understand. It makes sense.
You are going to have to deal with them. Is that okay?
I think that's also part of the benefits of being the firstborn, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, actually. Okay, okay.
I want you to be able to figure out what's going on. And they're talking about putting you in an institution, you know?
That's the big thing that's making me want to move with haste. Because I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't know what this is, but I don't need that. Because I think it'll just get worse if I'm there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, you know, phone and write and send carrier pigeons, whatever.
When you move into your place in New York, you better come visit me, okay?
Of course. Of course. I love you.
I love you too. I'm going to take my worms so you don't have to worry about the farm.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that. It's cold up there, so make sure they're not too close to the heater, but near the heater.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, good. All right. So now we fast forward. It is 1934. It is early December, and you're in your junior year of your college education. Your dorm is older. It's been remodeled, but it's been there for a very long time. And there are four other buildings that are near you that were built at the same time and have been renovated into classrooms. You have the journalism building, which has a smaller library in it. It also houses the history department. You have the medical building with labs and classrooms. There is also the art building, which has several large studios, including a dance studio on the top floor that is used as a rehearsal space. Finally, there's the pool building, which has been shuttered since 1914. No one's allowed in. They actually have a guard that checks it twice a day, and it's been boarded up pretty well.
Does the guard go inside?
The guard does not go inside. Stays outside the entire time.
Do they just like shine a flashlight in there? Or?
They just make sure that the locks are on. They boarded up all of the windows. They boarded up the entryway and the back way. And then they put a large fence around the whole thing that's also locked. So they don't want anybody near this place. And I will also say, Matilda, after 2 years of digging, you have not found a lot.
Matilda has a tree that they sit under and just look at the building.
Okay, cool.
It's their study spot, but they really are just like, how the hell am I going to get in there?
Let's start there then. Even though it's early December, it's an incredibly warm day. There has been some snow, but it hasn't really stuck. And right now, outside of Miskatonic, is nice and sunny and warm. The perfect time to eat outside before the first big snow later in the month. Matilda, you're sitting in your normal spot looking at the pool building under a large oak tree, and a few feet away is a picnic table where Dot and LaShawn are studying. You all know Matilda is just a few feet away, but they seem to always want to sit right there and stare as opposed to just joining you all at the table, but you haven't really pushed them on that. Why don't we start there?
We're just studying, and I look over at Matilda, I look at LaShawn. I'm like, why does Matilda always stare at that building?
You know, I don't know. I've noticed that too. It's a puzzle I can't quite solve. Matilda!
Oh, hi. Yes. Hi. Yes. Hi. Hi. How are you doing today?
Where do you go, man?
I go to the medical building. I go to my dorm.
No. You do this thing. You see them turn. They're a black androgynous person, slightly feminine features, very pretty, but also dressed very masculine. And they mimic you. They have like a little cigarette behind their ear, and they mimic you by like just staring. It's like really exaggerated. Like their eyes are kind of dull and half-lidded, and their mouth is like ajar, and they just look like they're about to fall asleep. That's you. That's you. That I just did. I'll do it again. That's you right now, looking at that building.
You're gonna catch flies. You're gonna swallow flies.
I'm just saying that's what you look like. We're over here trying to be responsible, do the dutiful thing to our education and studies, and you're over there fantasizing about a building. Is it sexy in there?
I wouldn't know. No one's been in there, but I mean, I wouldn't be against finding out. You are a journalism major, aren't you? You're always looking for a story.
Always, obviously.
Well, why haven't you gone in there, then? It's the only boarded-up building on campus. Well, not the only boarded-up building, but the only boarded-up building that is patrolled on campus. Why haven't you gone in, then?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a crack team. My guys won't get down here.
Oh, your guys? Who are your guys?
Well, it's Darius and Lunella and... It's my band, man.
Your bandmates. Yes, your bandmates.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're my guys. They come in and, you know, we investigate things and...
You play music at it? Do you think it'll shimmy its boards off if you get a hot enough scat going?
I mean, sometimes music is the language that everyone can understand. So, you know what? I don't need to explain this to you. What I need to know is why haven't you gone in the building that obviously calls to you? Dot, do you see them reflect? You see them deflecting, right, Dot? Like you see it.
I do. I just wonder, Matilda, why are you always staring at it? And I don't know, something else popped in my head. If it's been boarded up for 20 years, and she like pushes her glasses up on her nose.
That's so cute.
And she goes, why hasn't the university just demolished it?
I mean, you're the history major. You're the history expert. You have all the books and the knowledge. Why don't you know? Why are you asking me?
Well, because history tells you why people did things. It doesn't tell you why they didn't.
Oh, man, that's good. That's solid.
Yeah, actually, wow. I was going to try and question around that, but that's pretty airtight. Wow.
LaShawn writing furiously, like you can hear the scribbles from like a mile away.
Yeah, I'm glad you're writing that one down. That one's like definitely worth keeping track of.
I mean, wow. Like, you know, a multimedia empire, right? And multimedia is, I'm just kind of throwing that around right now. But a multimedia empire is what I want to do. And I feel like, you know, you've got to combine like the written word, but with like, I don't know, radio or something, or like this new television thing, and like get multiple perspectives. So it's not just like, old white guys. You know what I'm saying? Old white guys are always telling us what to do.
Yes.
But like this time, we can ask the old white guys and the young people, right? And people from all different backgrounds and walks of life. That way you get like a more 360 degree approach.
to what you're talking about on any given day. Maybe we start with that building.
I mean,
are you guys on scholarship?
Yes, almost exclusively.
No, I work part-time.
Oh, where do you work?
The library.
Oh, best place on Earth.
I should have seen that coming. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I tried getting a job at the library. They said they were full up. I'm going to keep trying. Anything.
That's because you're not boring.
Oh, shit. Hey,
and
man.
Mac walks up.
What's up, Mac?
I see Matilda's staring at the building again.
Okay.
Yeah, they won't tell us why. They said they deflected and said that we should be looking into it, or I should be looking into it.
I'm just saying you're the journalism major. Figure it out.
No journalist works alone.
Well, what are we all doing here, then?
I mean, I'll go in there.
Yeah, see, I told you I had a guy. Thank you, Mac.
You said your bandmates were your guy. Mac is not your guy.
Mac, you are a newly appointed guy, and I would very much like you to accompany
whether Mac
me.
Likes it or not.
I know you want to look into stuff. I want to look into stuff. Excuse me. You don't want to look into stuff. You have a looking into stuff compulsion.
I'm just saying I'm bored, so if you want to break into the building, I'm down.
Yeah, I mean, those guards are a joke. I will say, I do catch myself looking at that building sometimes.
Thank you.
Only to watch the security guards fail to actually do their job. Can you imagine if there was a fire in there? No one would know until the building was half burned down.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I learned? The guards take a break.
Do they now?
It's not a long one.
More scribbling?
They're a little bit on a pattern.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not one to normally break the rules, but I am also very curious, so I'm thinking if we are going to go in there, we should do it at night, and we should prepare, like, with flashlights and maybe a bolt cutter.
Look at the brain on Dot.
I mean, for somebody who doesn't do this, you sure are doing a good job. I don't know.
I don't have these glasses for nothing.
Oh, I like when you decide to be a bad girl. This is fun.
And Dot just kind of flushes and giggles. Because to her, this is really, really bad.
It's so much better, Dot, that you pay your way through school, because they're going to be that much less likely to kick you out. Scholarship, you're here for free, so make sure you're on high alert, Matilda.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I don't have to be worried about kicked out.
Yeah, what are you doing here? How you just kind of float around campus like a ghost, and you kind of haunt the art building, and no one ever seems happier there. No offense.
You're using a lot of confrontational language. LaShawn starts writing it down.
I go to school here like all of you normal people, right?
Oh, yes. A normal person calls someone else normal. Absolutely.
Look, do you want to get in the building or not? I can get us some bolt cutters. They use them in the wire part of the art space building thing. So,
you know, I don't know what's kind of interesting, Mac, is that you've been here as long as we have, but we've never seen any of your art.
It's,
that's true.
I would love to.
It's because it's secret. Yeah, but see, okay, so the thing about art, right, is that, like, it's got to make you feel something, and so I want to make sure when it's revealed that people actually feel something other than the rage I feel deep down inside. But that's not about today.
That's cool beans, man.
How will you know if someone's going to feel it if you haven't let them try to feel it, though, is the thing.
Says the person that stares at the building instead of going inside.
Yikes.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
So I will get the bolt cutters. Library, what you're going to get, I feel like it's a potluck situation, right? We all bring a criminal item.
I mean, I've got reefer.
What else do we need? That counts? I count that.
Does a flashlight count?
Yes.
Okay, I'll bring us some flashlights.
I've got bolt cutters, too. I can bring the bolt cutters. Sometimes, like, you gotta break in to get a gig, you know.
Yeah, but I think it'll be better if we're using the school's bolt cutters instead of yours.
Oh, science lab. Easy.
Oh, okay. All right. If you want to bring them, why don't we bring two? And then that way, we'll have an extra pair in case we need to stab a guy.
Stab?
Not that I plan on that happening. I'm just saying, you know.
Listen, I've gotta have plausible deniability to keep my scholarship, man.
Yeah, same.
You can turn around. You worked in the historical duels, right? Doctors would just turn around. You can just turn around. There you go. Plausible, whatever you said.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see why Mac is my guy? You see how they're pulling their weight? You see it? You see?
Yeah, plausible deniability really makes a lot of sense.
This is the level of involvement that I need
from
all of you.
I don't think we're going to be murdering people.
Speak for yourself, library.
Ideally, no, but...
We're just going into a building.
Why are you so keen to kill someone? I mean, I'm not against checking it out after, but...
No, I'm just saying, if one of us has to do it, I will probably be fine. That's all I'm saying. So I volunteer.
I'm gonna let you do that.
Plan B, plan C. You know what I mean? You don't want to get caught with your pants down, unless you want to get caught with your pants down, which I don't. So...
I think at that moment, LaShawn realizes that they're in a public place and starts looking around to make sure that nobody else is listening to them.
Well, there is a squirrel, and it is very judgy, but...
Damn it!
You know, that's about it.
Judgy squirrels.
Judgy squirrels.
Matilda, what are you going to bring? I'm bringing flashlights.
Right.
And Mac and LaShawn are bringing bolt cutters and some illegal stuff. And, but what are you going to bring?
Well, you know, I... And they look like uncomfortable kind of for the first time. They've got on some high-waisted pants and suspenders over one of those tops that have the really big floppy collars. And they start kind of fidgeting with the collar and pulling it away from their neck. I'll bring a flashlight too. We should have multiples. And I don't know, I've got some smooth rocks that I can put in a slingshot so we don't have to necessarily stab someone. And they look kind of over at Mac. What do you need me to bring? What do you want me to bring?
I don't know. I think snacks would be nice.
Snacks would be pretty sick.
Yeah, I can. I think my roommate made some like biscuits a couple days ago. I can bring some of those.
You're gonna bring the crumbliest snack in the world to a high level. Like we are going on a high level exploratory mission. This is not Hansel and Gretel. Is there anything else that you might have that doesn't leave evidence behind?
Like a key lime pie or...
I don't know. I could use some biscuits. I thought the biscuits was a good idea.
Thank you, Matt.
Listen, you know what? If I'm outvoted for biscuits, feel free to bring them.
We're going to need bread stuff.
What do we need bread stuff for?
For energy. For energy.
Oh, for
Isn't
energy.
The bread
okay.
stuff do the energy?
I should know this. I've been taking... medical classes here for 2 years, and yet I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe bread, maybe sugar. I know sugar's in short supply, but...
I think the biscuits are fine.
Okay, great. Biscuits it is. And they kind of look over at LaShawn like, ha.
LaShawn like throws their hands up and tucks their field notes back into their front pocket. Just shakes their head. Yeah, okay, good. Biscuits. I love it. I'll bring honey or something. Ugh.
That's so sticky. We're going to be so sticky. That you're talking about leaving behind residue. Honey leaves behind residue worse than biscuits. Biscuits, at least you can assume that they're dust on the ground if they get ground up enough.
Oh my God. I'm not having this conversation. I'm going back to my dorm for a nap. What time? What time? What time? 8?
I mean, Mac's the one who knows what the guards do. Mac's the one who knows the... All right.
10.
I think 10, yeah.
One of them goes to shit for a half hour around 10:30. The other one stands guard in the completely wrong direction. We can sneak in the back.
Also, it's wild to be that regular that someone can track you by it.
I didn't say he was doing it on purpose. I have a guy at the cafeteria.
I think Matilda just stares at Mac.
Well, Sean, like, looks at Matilda and is like I said, got a guy.
You've got a guy.
Okay, I think this is a good place to end that particular scene.
It's the worst plan in the universe.
It's almost like 20-year-olds came up with it. All right. Yeah. So.
Wild.
Wild.
This is definitely going to work.
Totally.
So all of you disperse, and you're all in your individual dorm rooms. It's about 2 o'clock. Without warning, it gets really dark outside. It was completely sunny just a moment ago and very cold. And you hear the wind whipping through the trees not far away. You hear the sound of glass breaking and screams. What do you guys want to do? Let's start with Michelle. What do you want to do?
Okay, was it the dorm room windows like that broke or?
It does sound like dorm room windows breaking because there's a shattering sound, not like a cup.
And is it dark in my dorm room right now?
Yep, your curtains were open, so the sun was coming in, and now there's no sun.
I go first thing and try the lights.
The lights are working fine. They click on.
Okay, I'm probably going to throw on a coat because it's probably gotten very cold all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have at least one flashlight, so I'm going to grab that. And then I'm going to go and find LaShawn's door and knock on it.
Okay, so let's jump over to LaShawn. All of this has happened suddenly. You hear the same thing going on. What's the first thing you'd like to do?
I think LaShawn immediately kind of sits down at their typewriter and starts to write, like, how they're feeling, what they're hearing, what's going on around them. Like, it's very much like a snapshot of the moment. They woke up from a nap. They smoked themselves into a nap. So they're waking up and they're still a little foggy. So they kind of, like, shake that off of themselves as they're writing. And it's just like a flurry of key taps as you knock on the door. Like, all you can hear is, like, like these really loud click-clacks.
Yeah, who is it?
It's Dot.
Oh, give me a minute to finish this, please. One, two, maybe. Okay.
And then they like get up and come and get the door for you. When they open the door, you can see their kinky curly hair. It's shoulder length cropped hairstyle, like where their hair is kind of just growing as it does. But it is kind of blunted at the end so that it kind of has like this really nice shape to it. They're a little sweaty. Their shirt is like unbuttoned and undone and kind of out, not tucked in. They're wearing kind of like a close binder on their chest, like an A shirt over top of that. And their suspenders are kind of hanging down off their shoulders. Yeah. Am I late? I'm not late, am I? And they like take out a pocket watch.
No, all the lights went out. It's dark, but it's still daytime.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah, I mean... I was really focused on the story. Like, let me show you what I wrote. And they like go over to the typewriter and hand you like a flashlight so you can read it. Look at this. This is what I did. What do you think?
That's very nice, LaShawn.
Oh, you're using that same voice my aunt uses, man.
I think something's going on. And I just...
All right.
It's weird. All the lights went out. It's the middle of the day. There were screams and windows breaking. And you're typing?
Listen, you know what? You're right. I'm going to take the mini version. And they look on a shelf that has like all these like rows of notebooks of different sizes and shapes. And they pick one that's all black and they go, see, it's a pro for the mood. And like pop a pencil behind their ear.
Let's go find Matilda.
Yeah. They'll not know what to do, but we should find Matilda.
Okay, well, let's jump to Matilda then.
Matilda is very similarly dressed to LaShawn in the sense of like a really tight binder under their button-down shirt, suspenders. They've kind of shucked off their shoulders. They've still got their boots on because as soon as they got back to their dorm room, they started writing a letter to Harriet. Not necessarily as a goodbye, but more of a, I'm going to do this really stupid thing, and if something happens, I need you to know what happened. They're starting to jot that down, kind of propped against the window, and then as it grows darker, they I don't think they notice right away. They're just like, why is it getting harder to write? Why can't I see fucking anything? And they're like, oh. And I think they'll shove the letter kind of in their pocket, half done, and stick a pencil in one of their two little buns in their hair, and just, and like, call out for their roommate and say, Kennedy? You're seeing the dark outside too, right?
You don't hear a reply from Kennedy.
Oh, shit. Does she have class right now? Fuck, I can't remember. Oh, well. I'll kind of like peek out the window and just start trying to see what I can see outside even without the lights on.
When you look outside, you can only see a few feet. You're on the second floor of the building and there is all of this wind whipping around and a lot of snow. Has built up. An unnatural amount of snow has built up.
Then I think as they're like getting ready, pulling on a jacket and grabbing like the things that they said that they would bring with them, folding up some biscuit and a handkerchief and tying it off and tucking it in one of their pockets. I think they're keeping an eye on the window on silhouettes and just checking to make sure all the silhouettes are as humanoid as they would expect.
So you're looking for silhouettes outside?
Yeah, not necessarily like watching, but like as they're getting ready and like glancing outside, just being like, that person looked normal? Yeah, that person looks normal. Is that person look normal? Yeah, it looks normal.
You don't see anybody outside. That's the thing. There's no one out there. The snow is really quickly accumulating outside.
No footsteps or anything in the snow either?
It's too deep for even footsteps.
Okay. Then I'm gonna bust out the door and go look for any of the other three that I can find quickly because we had a plan.
When you bust out the door, you run straight into LaShawn and Dot.
Oh, hi, yes. Does anyone else see the freak storm?
Of course we do. That's why we were on our way.
Right, yeah, that makes sense. Max, your guide, do you know where they hang out, LaShawn?
There's one of, like, six places that they could be, honestly.
Six? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they have a very colorful life.
Are any of them in this building?
Mess hall?
Let's go check.
So, let's talk with Mac then. Mac, where are you and what are you doing now that all the lights have gone out and people are screaming?
Mac is in the mess hall, but harder to find because she likes to go to the mess hall incognito. So she's wearing like a frilly nightgown that you would never picture her to be in. And it's like pink and flowery and definitely something her dad bought her before she left for college. It's torn up on the bottom and dirty because they've worn it for excursions like this. So that it's their one way to not be recognized. I imagine Mac is in the mess hall scarfing down some pancakes out of the fridge because they do not pay attention to rules and is just hungry. And the lights go out and they start hear screaming. And like, I guess if there was a camera, it would see like the slight smile on Mac's face that chaos has ensued. And there is something to go investigate slash save, but they don't want to come off too eager. So they just sit there calmly eating cold pancakes out of the mess hall fridge.
Awesome. So as you're being cool and you're in your incognito outfit that everybody knows about, the other three burst through the door looking for you, and they come over to around where you're sitting and go ahead.
Hey, Mac?
What's up?
Wow. I'm going to ask about what you're wearing later. There is a storm outside. We don't know what the fuck. I know we were going to meet tonight. We were going to try to go over that building, but this is weird. Everybody's gone?
They're gone? I mean, they're gone. Yeah, didn't even notice. Just been sitting here eating my pancakes.
Yeah. Matilda, did you see anything different? I mean, like, I was asleep, then I woke up, it got weird, and I just started to write. I didn't really look around. It didn't really take a lot of time.
It's really deep snow, so there are no footprints. I didn't see any people. I just heard screams and the glass shattering. Have we seen any shattered glass as we came down here? Have you seen anything?
No.
I didn't see anything.
Shattered glass?
I did hear it, though. Glass breaking.
Yeah. Interesting.
Do you want to go outside? I mean, it's really cold, but I don't know if we should try to leave. Can we leave?
If we do, we should definitely, you know, dress warmer.
I mean, I've got a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and I'll kind of look over it. Mac.
What?
Do you have snow boots?
Do you have anything not a nightgown?
I mean, yeah, but why would I wear that to go sneak into a building?
Because it's cold outside.
Because there's like 4 feet of snow outside, yeah.
I'll go back to my dorm, change, and meet you guys. Are we still going to the building, or are we going to go look for this broken glass?
I mean, I'm still down to go to the building if you guys are. I'm not saying we have to, but we had a plan.
I say we look for the broken glass first. Isn't it weird that we're not hearing anybody else around here?
Yeah, I think that's weird.
Have we seen anyone in the mess hall, Wes?
No, nobody's there at this moment.
What month is it, Wes?
It's early December. Also, just real quick, there are less people because a lot of people have ended their semester and have left. So there are not as many people on campus as usual. So that is part of it.
Got it. Okay, cool. I think LaShawn's like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I hate being one of the last ones left. But at the same time, my aunts are having a big party this weekend. I'm not trying to see that. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm wearing my boots. I think they go over to the door and try to, like, pull on it.
Okay.
To see if they can just go outside into the snow. In their mind, they're thinking, if they leave the building they're in, right? If they leave the dorm they're in, they can look around and see which windows are broken in this building.
All right, you all file out into the main hallway where the main doors are. And LaShawn, you open the door and there is literally from the ground to the top of the door frame, snow.
Well then.
Yeah, so about going to see that building.
Yeah, I guess we're snowed in.
Can I I don't know if I have to roll for this. Can I look in the lost and found and see if there's any like winter stuff right there so I don't have to go back to my room?
You don't have to roll for that. We'll say that you find a bunch of different pieces of winter clothing that does not match at all.
Perfect. I'm putting it all on.
Okay, cool.
We could dig our way through the snow.
Do you have a shovel?
I'm sure there's one around here somewhere. They have those cool spatula thingies in the kitchen.
Is it unnaturally cold, or is it just like a normal amount of cold?
It's a little unnaturally cold. The building is covered in snow at this point. It's pretty bad. And like I said, they have the broken windows somewhere, so.
Listen, I have no reason to know how to get to this. And we're going to overlook that. We're not going to ask a bunch of fucking questions. Follow me. LaShawn starts kicking up the stairs and takes the back entrance that they found their first few nights in college to the place where they smoke and write at night, which is the rooftop. They want to get to the top of the building so that they can at least look around and see what's happening around them as well. They're going to try and like take everybody like up the back steps to get to the rooftop access.
Okay, cool. As you're heading towards there, you run straight into Professor Wilkes. She's an art teacher, and she's like, "Oh, students, oh, good. Are you all right? I heard glass break."
"Oh, it wasn't us, Wilkes."
"Well, I figured it wasn't you. The storm, it came out of nowhere. Where are you all headed?"
"Why are you coming back from there?"
"I live on campus during the year. I haven't left yet."
"Oh. I think I might have eaten your pancakes in the kitchen. Sorry."
"You're the one. Anyway, we have too much going on to worry about cold pancakes. Where are you all headed?"
"Oh, we're just going to take a look around the other floors. Like, there's nothing to do. Lights are out. We figure, you know."
"Are you sure that's a good idea? I mean, maybe we should just stay here and wait for help or something."
"You know what? Why don't we meet you downstairs in the mess hall?"
"Yeah.
That's a good centralized location for us all to meet."
"Nice and right? warm with the stoves, too."
"We also need food."
"I mean, we had pancakes."
"Well, I ate them, so."
"One of us had pancakes."
"Yeah, I know. That was the way I was, yeah, that was the point I was getting to. Okay, I'll go downstairs and you be careful. Don't do anything silly." And she walks away and starts walking down the stairs.
No, nothing silly in a sudden snowstorm that snows us all in. Nothing silly about that.
No. Perfectly normal stuff.
Yes.
You make it up to the top floor. It's a three-story tall building with a basement. And the ladder that goes up to the ceiling is down. And you know from the past that more than likely, Edward, who is always up on the roof smoking as well, is probably up there because he never pulls up the ladder after him, which is why he's been caught so many times. Do you want to follow him up?
Yes, in my opinion. I don't know, but I don't want to speak for everybody.
Everybody good with that? All right.
Yep.
So y'all climb up. It's super cold outside. The wind is blowing really badly, and you look around, and a few feet away, you see Edward lying on the ground, and he just looks beat up, like chunks of him have been bit off of him, and there's blood everywhere, and he turns his head towards you, and that's when you notice half of his throat is missing. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
No.
Oh, my God, Wes.
Listen. There's
casually,
so many questions.
Casually mentioning, by the way, half his throat is missing. Have a good time.
Oh, I hate it.
Quick question.
Yeah?
The art teacher was coming down from the roof?
Down from third floor, not the roof.
Okay.
But it could have been the roof, Michelle. It
suspicious.
Could have been.
That's what I'm thinking.
And we sent her to a cafeteria where she's definitely going to eat us.
This is all a lot of questions for after the game's been ended. So, all right. Thank you all so much. That was a lot of fun. And I hope you all enjoyed it. Let's find out where these wonderful people are and what other things that they are doing. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Candace the Magnificent. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at the Candace Marie and everywhere else at Candace the Magnificent. You can hear more of me on our Patreon exclusive or Ko-Fi exclusive Beyond the Outer, which is a mothership campaign. If you are interested in creepy, disgusting horror and sci-fi, which of course you are, that's why you're here, definitely consider backing us and getting access to Beyond the Outer, which is super creepy and awesome. You can also hear more of me on the Cosmic Horror Meets Fargo pod Partial Veil, the upcoming City of the Black Rose Herald of Shadows with Three Black Halflings, as well as Frequencies, a new podcast with the Atomless crew. Coming up on Mayday Roleplay, you can see Eli, their resident ghost, doing a performance of their game Ghostfy with both Lev and the other members of Mayday Roleplay and myself. I am a special guest on Ghostfy, and if you are a longtime 12-Sided Stories listener and you love Otherworld Hollywood, definitely don't miss that one because Ebony Belafonte makes an appearance.
Hello, I've been Lev, and I've also been Matilda. You can find me on Twitter at LEGOM2RS, the number 2, or on Instagram at Lev.RS23. I don't really use it. It's there, though. As for places you can hear me say words, check me out and all of the other fine folks at Mayday Roleplay. We are playing A Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle right now, Vegas by Night. We've also just finished the third season of our Delta Green game, Doomed to Repeat. And next year, we're heading into the final season of it. So get ready for more really sad horror stories that are really fun. I'm just going to plug Ghostfy right now. If you've played a game that you had a character that you loved and they died, go play Ghostfy. It's good. It's good. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now.
Hi, I'm here. Also, you can find me on God Complex, which is airing every other Thursday right now, I think still by the time this comes out. And I also have a few projects coming up for 2025 that I can't fully talk about yet, but look out for those. And also, if you haven't watched Itaewon by Night and you love all the goofy little guys I play, that is probably something you should listen to as the first streamed all-Asian Vampire the Masquerade game, which even Jason Carl loved. So
you are award nominated for that game.
Oh, yeah. And I was award nominated yes. 2 years yeah. in a row this yeah. year, and the show has been nominated 2 years in a row. So yes.
Kick ass, dude. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can find my music and Wes's amazing sound effect if you go to DriveThruRPG and look for Plate Mail Games.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can also find the show, 12-Sided Stories, the number 12 and then Sided Stories, on all the different socials. Or on our website at 12sidedstories.com. It's all written out one word, and you can find a bunch of links and our back catalog and the whole nine yards there. If you want to talk to us, join us over on Discord and tell us what's up with your gaming life right now and what's going on. If you want to help the podcast, definitely go over to Patreon and become a Patreon member or give us a shout out on your favorite platform or review. Those things are always very helpful. And again, we were sponsored by Pelgrane Press this time, which is pretty awesome. Check out their backer kit project for the Trail of Cthulhu 2nd edition, which should be running right now, unless this is in the far future. And then you can just buy it from their website. Thank you so much for being here, and we will talk to you next time on A Ravenous Hunger. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.